It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study, we left off with Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's pick up there. It says in verse 5, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." Well, to whom should the gospel be preached? And we touched on this. Now, Paul's answer to this, of course, is to all nations. Now, we have the Great Commission, what's known as the Great Commission, and it's in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and Matthew 28:19 and Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. And if it wasn't important, then God would not have included that in his word. Well, in order to carry out the Great Commission of carrying out the gospel into all the world, Christ said, "You're going to receive power to do that," according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Well, notice in verse 5 the term grace. This refers to God's undeserved favor and unmerited kindness. Paul was saved. He was an apostle only by the grace of God. And we read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Well, he counted himself above fortunate. In other words, he was above this, and he counted himself unworthy to be able to do this because it was such a great honor that the Lord had placed upon him the grace of being able to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ coming into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. Well, Paul preached, and it was for obedience to or of the faith, according to verse 5. Paul's motive in this verse is for his name, in other words, for Christ's name. It was to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Everything, you see, everything that we do is supposed to be for the glory and honor of God. And now we look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ?" Well, he's placing those people who are saved with him at this point. In other words, Paul's doing this. He's placing those of us who are saved with him. And he says, "Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ?" He's saying, "You're also called." And what God is doing here is this. He's doing what he's doing among the nations, according to verse 5. And today, God is visiting the Gentiles. And he's visiting, the nations. This would be the Gentiles. And once again, the Bible teaches us that there's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek today in the time that we're living. In other words, God's gospel goes to everyone. But notice the word nations. This refers to Gentile people. Well, notice that in our scriptures that he's visiting the nations and taking out of them a people for his name. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 14, it says, "Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." Well, what is Christ doing? Christ is building his church. That's what he's doing. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock." He's not talking about Peter now. He's talking about himself, upon Jesus. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "I will build my church." He's saying, "I'm going to build the church upon myself, upon the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, Paul said, God has also called you, the saved people, to spread the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you." He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, we as children of God have also been called. Not only was Paul the apostle and these apostles that we read about in the book of Romans, not only are the people written of then Not only is it referring to them, and not only were they to spread the gospel, but we are to spread the gospel to all nations, to all people. We are to make no difference. Race, creed, color, background. I don't care how much money they've got, how poor they are, we are to get the gospel to the world. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." Well, he's speaking now to the people in Rome and to all who are called to be saints. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, who is Paul writing to in Rome? The recipients of Paul's letter were the Roman believers, the beloved of God. They were called to be saints, people who are set apart, people who are separated from sin and separated unto the service of Christ. You see, every believer is a saint, but sometimes believers do not live very saintly. If you are saved and you've been saved for any length of time, you know that's true. Well, Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 13 says this. Paul speaking here under the inspiration of the Lord. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Paul, as an example, in these verses I've just read, gives an outline of 8 admonitions concerning prayer in these verses. Prayer, first of all, in verse 8, should include thanksgiving. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Paul was thankful for the Christians in Rome and for their faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." He couldn't see them praying, and he couldn't see what they were doing there, but he knew they were doing it. He had faith in them that they were doing what God wanted them to do. Why? He had heard about it. He hadn't seen it, but he had heard. Secondly, prayer must be through Jesus Christ, according to verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." It's through Jesus Christ that we have the mediator, not some man on this earth who prays, and says he's in touch with God and he's the only one that can get in touch with God and you must go to him. No, Jesus is the mediator. He is the only one. Well, third, prayer should be constant, according to verse 9. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." And Paul says in verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Now, you can pray without ceasing, without even closing your eyes, without getting on your knees. You can be in, an attitude of prayer. You can pray. And we receive prayer when we receive a prayer request and we have someone to pray for, and it comes to our mind or our heart that we're in a car someplace and it comes to our mind and our hearts that we need to be praying, or some other place that is not so great that you can close your eyes. In other words, keep your eyes on the road, do what you're supposed to do, but you can be in an attitude of prayer. And your eyes don't have to be closed to talk to the Father. Paul prayed for the Romans without ceasing. We need to stay in an attitude of prayer. Number 4, prayer should be genuine, according to verse 9. God was Paul's witness. He said, "For God is my witness." Paul was not just pretending to be a man of prayer. Paul knew that his prayer life was genuine, and he knew God knew it. Well, the fifth thing about prayer is that prayer should involve intercession. And verse 9 talks about this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, now, Paul faithfully obeyed the command found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And we need to do the same. We need, when we think of it, we may not agree with the saints in everything they say. We may not agree with them constantly, but understand what I'm about to say. We may not like them, but thank God we love them. And we need to pray for all saints, whether they are having a difficult time, whether they need something specifically from the Lord, whether they've done something to get into trouble, whatever the case may be, we need to be praying for all saints, whether we agree with their philosophies or not. The one philosophy or the one thing that draws us together is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now understand this. I'm not saying to throw in with the world council of churches, whatever you want to call it, or the emerging church, or anyone that strays or gets away from the Word of God. You don't have to throw in with them. We need to take a stand for the Lord. I'm talking about saints, those saints of God who are standing on the Word of God. We need to pray for them. Well, number six, Paul's admonition here is that prayer should be specific. Verse 10 says, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul was being specific, and we need to be specific in our prayers. Paul made a specific prayer request. He prayed for a prosperous journey. And there is no detail in life that is so trivial that we cannot make it a matter of prayer. If God is concerned about feeding the sparrow and about clothing the lily, then he certainly was concerned about Paul's trip to Rome. And whatever you think, maybe you have something and you say, well, I don't want to bother God. Well, you need to go on to God in prayer, and you need to share with him anything that comes into your life that is causing you a problem, or maybe you have some decision to make, or you have a need. You need to take that to the Lord. No matter how trivial you think it is, God knows it's important, and you need to talk to the Lord about it. Remember the sparrow and about the lily of the field. Well, we'll pick up here next time with verse 10. And today, I wonder as I speak, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Foremost on my mind, my heart, is that you'd come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him into your heart. Trust him today. And you as a Christian, if you've trusted him as your Savior, you need to be living for him. You need to trust him today to take care of your life. You say, well, you ask me, do you think there's Christians who do not trust Christ to take care of them? Yes, there are. There are Christians who do not trust Jesus to take care of them after they've been saved. And maybe you've gotten to the point now you're one of those people. You need to cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. You need to be reminded that he died for you and he rose from the grave for you. You need to be serving him today with all of your might. Trust him as a Christian to take care of your life in these difficult times that we are seeing. Trust in him. Lean not unto your own understanding, but trust in him that he's going to take care of the needs in your life. May the Lord bless you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.